Praise the Lord. Usually we greet people, but we're not friendly on Wednesday night. We don't do that stuff. No, I'm just messing around. But let's just get into some things here. Hallelujah. Go to Matthew chapter 8. If you have your Bibles, if you don't, we'll have one for you up on the screen. Isn't it fun to worship Him? And just lift our voices together and praise Jesus, you know. Hallelujah. You know He likes it. You know He likes it, right? You know how I know He likes it? Because He says to do so in His Word. He doesn't tell us to do things that He doesn't like. Praise God. And He says to bring a sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of your lips. Giving thanks to His name, saying something, worshiping Him. Hallelujah. The Bible says He likes it in Psalm 63 when we raise our hands and bless Him in the sanctuary. You might say, I'm not comfortable raising my hands. Well, I'm not here for my comfort. I'm here for His comfort. Amen. I'm here to please Him. And if His Word says He likes it, I am all for it. I have been noted as saying, and I don't mean to be crude when I do so, but if the Lord said to do cartwheels down the aisle while picking my nose, I'd be doing cartwheels down the aisle while picking my nose. I just tell you that because I'll do anything He says. Praise God. If it makes Him happy, I'll worship Him. Hallelujah. Well, that's a great way to start the service, isn't it? Praise. That's a good vision to put in your head, but that's just the way it is. Matthew chapter 8, I think people have learned by now, if you're looking for an eloquent, studious pastor, you probably have found the wrong church. I trip over my words and stuff, but we try to follow the Holy Ghost and stay with what He's saying, and if you'll listen, you'll be blessed. Praise God. So Matthew chapter 8 and verse 5, let's pray. Father, we're so grateful to be in Your house this evening. Father, where would we be without You? Lord, we'd be on the junk heap of life, the spiritual junk heap. But no, Lord, we are blessed in You, Father God. We are complete in You, Paul wrote in Colossians. We are complete in You, Father. We have our hope in You. Our help is in You. Our trust is in You, Father. We love You, and we're so thankful for the Word. Father, speak through me tonight that my words would not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. And Father, we'll make sure to give You all the praise. We'll make sure to give You all the glory for what's to be said. And Father, it is important for me to let You know that I am fully aware that I am nothing without You, that You're the vine, I am just a branch, and apart from You, I can do nothing. So Lord, we need Your help. Speak through me. May my words be as the oracles of God, not with enticing words of man's wisdom. So thank You for hitting bullseyes here tonight. Thank You for saying what needs to be said. Thank You for doing what needs to be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 5. It is so awesome to see our Wednesdays growing, by the way. Amen. Praise God. I'm telling you, we're on the verge of some good things. It says, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto Him a centurion beseeching Him, saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. Amen. I just got arrested in my heart to stop right there. I'm not even preaching about healing tonight. But it's important that you understand that the Bible says that Jesus only did what He saw His Father do. He only said what He heard His Father say. I call it the Jesus rule. What is the Jesus rule? Anything you see Jesus saying or doing in the Bible is just a picture of who His Father is. Amen? You want to know if your God's good? Look at Jesus, because He only did what the Father would do. You want to know if your God's a provider? Look at what Jesus did. You want to know if your God's a healer of physical problems? Look at what your Jesus did. And He said, I will. Why can He say, I will? The only way He can say, I will, is if He looked into heaven and saw that the Father's saying, yes, healing is my flow. Yes, praise God. Hallelujah. Because the church that I grew up in, the church that my wife grew up in, the church that a lot of my friends and family are still in, will not tell you a lick about divine healing. They will not tell you that God wants you blessed. They will not tell you that God wants you healthy from head to toe. Basically, scrape by in this life and just, you know, if you're healthy, that's great. If not, that's just what life gives you. And someday when you get to the sweet by and by, all will be good. Well, that's okay, but that's not what the Bible teaches. Jesus said, I will. And guess what Jesus is? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We're in the today, and tomorrow we'll be in the forever. Praise God. Hallelujah. He's the same. And he said, I will. Because the first part of any faith always begins where the will of God is known. And if you're not sold out to whatever you're believing God for, now remember, this is extra, so this doesn't even count against my preaching time, because there's nothing about this in my notes. Praise God. And so sit tight. Hallelujah. But the will of God, where the will of God is known, that's where faith begins. Faith can't begin until the will of God is known. Does God have a spouse for me? Does God have a job for me? Does God have provision for me? Does God have health for me? Well, you can't leap from a place of faith until you know. Well, he said for healing, I will. I will. That means tomorrow he can't say I won't, because he's the same. He never changes. He's the same. He's always Jesus saying, I will. I will. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you for that, Jesus. And the centurion, verse 8, answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should... Yeah, let me just address that, because people say, well, I knew so-and-so that was believing God for healing and they didn't get their healing. Well, I know sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so, a deacon in the church, and they're faithful. They got Jesus stickers on their car. They got the fish. I mean, Family Life Network's all they listen to. Praise God. And they didn't get healed. Well, you can't judge the Word of God by other people's circumstances. You don't know what they were believing. You don't know what they were saying. You don't know the details. All you do know is that the Word of God is true and it will be forever.
Amen.
Amen. You can't judge things by what people are going through.
That's right.
Hallelujah. I know the thoughts come to people. Well, let me ask you a question. Let me squash that thought for you. Well, because the thought will come, well, if God's a healer, why are so many people sick? Christians, I'm talking. If God's a provider, why are so many Christians struggling? Well, let me ask you a question. What does the Bible say about salvation? God is not willing that any should perish, but that all. So guess what his will is on salvation? That not one person will go to hell. But do people go to hell? Absolutely. But I thought it was God's will. Same thing. Just because something is God's will doesn't mean it happens. Doesn't mean it happens. And so when you see sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so, or you get word of something, don't let it change your focus off what the Word says. The Word is true.
Amen.
Regardless if people are living it or not.
Right.
Amen. It's important. Keep your focus on the Word, not on circumstances, not on people. Glory to God. Well, someone's been praying for utterance.
Amen.
And that's good, because we need to hear it. The centurion, where am I? What number? 8. Centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goes. To another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled. Man, I want to be one of those people that makes Jesus marvel.
Amen.
I want him to be up in heaven and be like, did you see what that Mike Anderson did today?
Yeah.
Abraham, come here. I got to tell you what that guy did down there. David, you know, I know your whole thing with Goliath was good, but you got to hear what Mike Anderson did. Don't you want him to say that about you? Marvel at what you're doing. Marvel at your belief, glory to God. Because it said he marveled and said unto them that followed, verily I say to you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. The whole nation, Jesus said, this guy is sitting alone on a pedestal all by himself, a faith pedestal that nobody else has reached. I want to be there so bad. Praise God. Hallelujah. So Jesus said it was great faith. Now, this is what I want you to see. This gentleman was a great faith person. Well, we see if we read the rest of the story, for time's sake we won't. His servant did get healed. Jesus didn't go to the house. His servant got healed. Well, Jesus just did what the man told him to do. But what the man told him to do, Jesus called it great faith, didn't he? Jesus said, what you have said to me to do instead of come to your house, but to speak the word only, Jesus said, wow, that's great faith. Well, for that guy to say that, we have to look at why he was able to say that. And go back to verse 9. He says, Lord, I am a man under authority. Because verse before, he said, just speak the word. He said, I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goes, to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. He's saying, I'm in charge of people. And if I need them to go somewhere, I don't have to physically pick them up and walk them over there. I just say, go. If someone is way down there, I don't have to go to them. I say, come here. Or go do this, go do that. He said, I don't have to exert any physical energy. I just need to speak my authority. What was he saying? My authority comes from my words. He was skilled in the area of authority and knew that Jesus had authority over sickness and disease. Why? He had heard about him healing and setting people free. He was skilled in the area of authority. And so because of his skillness in his authority, Jesus likened his skillness in authority to somebody that had great faith. And what did great faith do? Great faith changed the natural. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. He was skilled in it. And if we're going to see, we can look at these people in the Bible and how they got things done and be like them and get things done as well. God's not a respecter of persons. If you'll act like this man acted, you'll get what this man got.
Amen.
He's not a respecter of persons. He's not going to say, well, you know, I don't know. No, just he's a respecter of faith. Get into faith. Be like these people, like the woman with the issue of blood. Be like blind Bartimaeus. Be like the Syrophoenician woman. Be like the centurion. Be like these faith giants in the Bible, and you'll get what they got. But the characteristic of this man is he said, I know what authority's like, and I know how to use authority, and you have authority over sickness. Just use your authority. You don't have to come over. Go do other things. Just say the word only. Amen. Jesus said, my God, that's awesome. That's awesome. Praise God. So we also better be skilled in authority. Amen. We better be skilled in authority. And I'll ask you this. How do you know if you're skilled in authority? If you're skilled in authority, you're using your authority. If you're not using your authority, you must not be very skilled in it, because there's almost going to be a daily need for it to be used in your life because of the world we live in. But you have to know that you have it, and you have to know how to use it, right? Can we pull up Hosea 4:6? It is a very well-known scripture, Hosea 4 and verse 6. Praise God. I'm going to wait for it to get up there. Praise the Lord. We have new programs back there, and the sound people have been so patient in learning, so just be patient with them. There's so much to learn. But Hosea 4:6, look what it says. My people. Well, when I read that, I know that God has like a sentimental feeling when he says that, because they're his people. Right? They're his people. You know, when we're at the Pastor Nancy Dufresne meetings, and there's people from Olean in South Dayton, they stand out to me amongst the other ones, and I have more sense. Why? They're my people. Amen. 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 Glory to God. So I know when God says that, he's saying, my people. I love these people. I want the best for these people. They're I want my plan to manifest in their life. But he says, my people are destroyed. That's a heavy word. My people are destroyed, notice this, for lack of knowledge. That's it. Not because of where they were brought up, not because of the culture they grew up in, not because of the last name they were given when they were a baby, because they don't know. Well, didn't Jesus say the same thing? If you know the truth, it'll set you free. The truth has the ability to set you free, but if it's not known, it just, right? We use this example all the time. This book sits on Walmart shelves all over the world. And unsaved people walk by it. The power's in here to help them. Sick people walk by it all the time. Broke people walk by it all the time. Depressed people, anxious, stressed out people walk by it all the time. Doesn't do anything for them. Does it? They walk right by it, and they walk out of Walmart and stay the same. But yet, the power was there the whole time, but they didn't know the power. Because if you don't know the truth, it won't set you free. It's not enough that there's truth.
That's right. Yeah.
Praise God. It's not enough that there's truth. There has to be a known truth. Well, with authority, the same way. You're going to see that we've been given authority. You're going to see how to use your authority. But if you don't know that you have authority and you don't know how to use your authority, even though Jesus has given you authority, you won't use it.
That's right.
And you'll be taken advantage of.
Yeah.
Amen. Because you know, great faith people are people that stand up and stand their ground in authority. Because they know what belongs to them, and they say, I'm not going to go with any less than belongs to me. Why would we?
Right.
Amen. Why would we? Praise God. Hallelujah. This was weeks ago, I had somebody call me about praying for somebody else that goes to a different church. And they told me their situation. And I said, my prayers are going to do nothing for them until they learn who they are in Christ and start standing up and doing something themselves.
Amen.
Amen. I'll pray for their eyes to be open towards that. But until they start using their authority and walking in what Jesus gave them, it's not going to matter. You know, I'll get things on blue cards sometimes about people, and outside of places where they're not hearing the word. It's like, Bible says, if you don't know, you'll get destroyed. He'll eat you alive. Praise God. Why? Because faith begins where the will of God is known. Knowledge is faith's mother.
Amen. That's good.
Or you can say it this way. Knowledge births faith. Once you have knowledge of something, you can believe it. Praise God. Well, we better find out what the Bible says about our authority. Luke chapter 10 and verse 17. Because I'm just going to just throw this out there. It's not a statement. Maybe it's not so true in our church because we've taught it. But I'm going to throw this statement out there as a blanket statement on the body of Christ. It's not for, to look dramatic or to get your attention. Most people in the body of Christ do not know anything about the authority that they've been given on this earth.
That's right. Come on.
They don't have a lick of sense about it. It's because they've never been taught it. They don't know. I wouldn't know it either if I wasn't shown it. But look what it says in Luke 10 and verse 17. It says, the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to your name, unto us through your name. And he said unto them, I love this, because my mind works this way. I'm convinced in heaven there's a Blockbuster Video. I'm convinced that I can go to Blockbuster Video and I can look on the shelf and I can see David and Goliath and I can get it, take it back to my mansion, throw it in my heavenly Blu-ray player with the best sound system and watch David take on Goliath. I want to see these things. But I want to see this one. This might be my first rental. So you guys can all get in line for the second one, but I'm getting it first. Praise God. He said, I beheld Jesus, because they just said, wow, the devils even listen to us, Lord. He said, listen, boys, let me tell you what I saw one day. Let me tell you the show that was put on for me one day. He said, I saw Satan as lightning. Now, what's lightning? Boom! I mean, quick, right? Don't you love when you're driving down the road and there's a storm up ahead and you actually catch that glimpse? But it happens so fast, right? So you're always, and then you know it's storming and you're just on edge because you want to see it again, but it happens so fast and you're not sure where it's going to hit in the sky. Imagine how fast Satan's rear end was cast to this earth. I have to think he bounced when he hit. I don't know. I have a picture of him bouncing a few times. It says, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. He says, I saw Satan fall from a place of authority, being one of the highest angels in heaven, as Lucifer, be cast down to nothing. And then verse 19 says, he says, behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions. Now notice this. And over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. That is not the place that the body of Christ is living out of as a whole.
That's right. Come on.
Jesus said, I give unto you. Well, now, to understand that fully, we need to hold your place here and go to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Oh, the body of Christ is not living out of a place where nothing shall hurt them, where they have authority over the enemy. Matthew 28 and verse 18. So he's saying, all power, or he said, I give unto you power. Matthew 28 and verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them and said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. So Jesus said, all power is mine. Now go back to Luke chapter 10. Remember, he said, all power is mine in heaven and earth. The two places we're going to reside, heaven and earth, earth for right now. Luke chapter 10 and verse 19. So Jesus said, all power is mine. But then in verse 19 of Luke chapter 10, he says, behold, I give unto you. Well, he had it to give, didn't he?
Amen.
We just saw that. He said, I'll give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, nothing shall by any means hurt you. Well, let me share with you something real quick. The New Testament was not written in English. It was written in Greek. And there's a thing called a Strong's Greek Concordance. And on that, there's different numbers. And you can look up a certain word from a certain verse, and it'll tell you the Strong's number of what the word is in the Greek. Well, the problem with the translators, when they translated this verse, they used the word power twice, but the problem is the Greek words are different. The first word power in the Greek is the word exousia, which means, in the Greek, authority. The last word power in that word, in that verse in the Greek, is the word dynamis or dunamis, where we get the word dynamite, and that word means power. And actually, in Matthew 28, 18, when it says, all power is given unto me, if you look up that word, it's not dynamis or dunamis. It's actually the exousia, which means authority. So Jesus is saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. And then in this verse, he says, behold, I give unto you all authority to tread on serpents and scorpions. So it's important that you understand that, because we're talking about authority tonight. And Jesus said, I give you authority. And listen, authority is better than power. Because you can't, in and of yourself, defeat the devil.
That's right.
You don't have enough power. You don't. He will overtake you unless you do it through Jesus' way, which is authority. Amen. Think about a police officer when they go and they can stop a semi, not by this, right, with their power. They're not strong enough. But all they got to do is say, got a badge here, stop, and they'll put on the brakes, right? And they'll wait. That big truck will wait for that police officer to say, go by. Not because of his power, but because of his authority.
Amen?
Amen?
Yeah.
It's not the power we want, it's the authority we want, because the authority has been given to us, praise God. But here's what you have to understand, is that Jesus delegated the authority to us. That it matters who it came from. And let me tell you why it matters where it came from. Go to Colossians 2 and verse 15. Colossians 2 and verse 15. So Jesus says, I give you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you, praise God. So he's saying, body of Christ, wake up. If you'll walk in this authority, nothing by any means shall hurt you. That's what he said. He said, behold, I give unto you authority. So that means we have to use our authority. And if we'll use our authority, we'll tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt us. Why are things hurt in the body of Christ? Because people don't know anything about authority. They don't know who they are in Jesus. Oh, we're just the scum of the earth, weasels with our tails between our legs, and when we get to heaven, oh, that it'll be great. No, 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 no. We ought to be the most dominant force on planet earth. We are the ones that are here trying to save this world and bring back Jesus to the earth. We've been given a fortune teller to live on the inside of us, to show us everything to come, to make our moves so we can have pinpoint accuracy in life. We should be the smartest, the most powerful, the most dominant, the most blessed, anything that lives. But that's not the way the body of Christ looks as a whole. It's just not. My goodness. But that's the way Jesus, I mean, if Jesus said, nothing shall hurt you, well, I guess he probably meant what he said. But you say, well, I don't know, that was, nobody's walking in it. Stop judging because people don't know. The word's still true. Hallelujah. Colossians 2 and verse 15, why does it matter that Jesus gave us the power? Because it says, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. One translation says he put to naught. One translation says he paralyzed. One translation says he disarmed. One translation says he marched the devil and them through the streets naked. Praise God, putting a show on. That's a bunch of different things put together, but you understand what I'm saying. That was the Mike Anderson version of everything. And so that's what it says. He said he spoiled them, put to naught, disarmed, paralyzed, the principalities and powers. Well, go to Ephesians 6:12. Why does that matter? Because look at Ephesians 6:12. Just taking a walk in the Word here tonight. Ephesians 6:12. Everything we do is biblical. My goodness. He says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers." What's principalities and powers? The same thing he spoiled. The same thing he disarmed. The same thing he put to naught. The same thing that he paralyzed. The same thing that he marched through the streets of hell on display for all to see. Hallelujah. He said, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. So guess what? The one that you're struggling with is a disarmed enemy. It's a put to naught, paralyzed enemy. Well, the only way that a disarmed, paralyzed, put to naught enemy can have his way in your life is if you're not doing the right thing. There's no reason somebody in that position should be able to hurt you. That's why Ephesians 4 and verse 27 says, don't give place to the devil. That's what Ephesians says to the Christian, don't you give place to the devil. Everybody's always praying, oh, the devil's after me, the devil's after me. Pastor, how's things going? Oh, pastor, the devil's after me. What's your point? What's your point? I don't understand. What's your point? He's defeated. He's disarmed. He's paralyzed. He's been put to naught. Do something about him.
Amen.
Yes. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, do something about the devil. He says, I did. I gave you Jesus, and Jesus gave you the authority. Praise God. And so anyways, that's who we wrestle against. And delegated authority is important. Go back to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10 and verse 19. He says, behold, I give unto you authority. See, it matters that it came from Jesus. Let me tell you why. I have two children, Caleb 6, Abby 3. And Caleb really enjoys bossing Abby around. And Abby really enjoys not giving a rip of what he says. Because she knows, who are you? You're just my big brother. You don't have any authority over me. I'll just wobble like, wow, you must be Abby's dad because you're trying to act like it. I mean, seriously, that's how he gets it. She don't listen to him, and she shouldn't. Why? He has no authority. He has no authority, right? But let me tell you about an example. Caleb, for those of you that know him, he's very mild-mannered, most of the time where he just kind of goes with the flow, even keel type of kid. And there was a young child in kindergarten this year that was just giving him a heck of a time. I mean, it's always that fine line as a parent, like when do you step in? When do you let him handle stuff? When is it, we try to follow that in our heart. And it wasn't anything really serious or we would have taken action. We did in the spirit, but we would have taken action. But just this one kid in his class that just kept bothering him and bothering him. And Caleb is so kind and compassionate. He didn't do anything about it. In fact, one time, the kid was sitting there pinching his arm during an assembly and kept pinching, and Caleb wouldn't say anything because he didn't thought he would get in trouble if he said anything during the assembly. So that's just kind of the way he is, and he would come home, and he'd have sometimes little pinch marks on him, or one time he had a little scratch. I'm like, buddy, what is that? He said, well, so-and-so doing that. I said, he keeps putting his hands on you? And I said, buddy, you go in there tomorrow, and you walk right up to him in the beginning of school, and you point your finger right at the tip of his nose, and you tell him, you don't touch me ever again. I said that to him. Well, see, he didn't know that could be his response. He thought, I just have to take whatever's coming at him. For whatever reason, he had this thought that he had to take whatever's coming at him, and that no matter what, and Christians at times, sickness, oh, that's just part of life. Being broke, that's just part of life. Oh, depression and fear and worry. Worry's just a part of life. And I think that's just what I have to accept. But see, when Daddy said to him, buddy, go in there right in his face. I mean, I want your finger so close to the tip of his nose. And you tell him sternly, you don't touch me ever again. Praise God. Well, when Caleb knew that, wow, Daddy gave me that authority, he couldn't wait to get to school the next day. He couldn't. Fired up. And I'm telling you, I said, right when you get to school, right when you get to your locker, before you do anything, you get right in his face and you tell him. I said, you know, he's going to sit there and mess around with you like that. I'm not putting up with that, you know. And we also, to get onto a side note here, took authority over that situation. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. The Bible says you don't wrestle against flesh and blood, against principalities and powers. But the devil will work through people to make your life hard. Could be a business deal that someone's holding something up. It could be coworkers that are causing your life to be hard. It could be people like in school. For example, so this is happening, and so I said, you know, in the name of Jesus, I said, I take authority. I said, Satan, you take your hands off that situation. Now listen, because I'm going to teach you how to deal with things like this, and I'll give you some other examples. I said, in the name of Jesus, you take your hand off this situation, devil. You are not permitted to work through this child to hurt my child. I said, you cease and desist your maneuvers against him at once. That's what Brother Hagin taught us. You cease and desist your maneuvers against him at once. You stop it in Jesus' name. I thank you for it, Father. Well, we did, and he did, and it did. Praise God. I had a young lady come to me, tell me about a guy and a girl in her school that were just giving her the hardest time. I mean, just cruel things on social media, saying things, and she came to me in tears. I said, you know, we got a God that can deal with this. I said, let's take authority over that situation. I said, let's pray. So we did, and I said, in the name of Jesus, I said, you got to agree with me now, but I'll say the prayer. I said, in the name of Jesus, we command you, devil, to take your hands off this situation. You are not permitted to work through those people. You cease and desist your maneuvers against them at once in Jesus' name. We did, and it wasn't a week and a half later, and they both got moved out of the school.
Praise God.
Amen. I'm telling you, it's the real deal. Don't mess with God's people.
Amen.
Don't mess with God's people. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I could tell you story after story, but if you're getting... That's called using your authority. It's called using your authority. Tell them. Say, stop it in the name of Jesus, and you cease and desist your maneuvers at once. The devil has to listen to you. Why? If the Bible says you've been given authority over all his power, and one of the powers that he can do is use it through other people, well, you have authority over that power, but you got to use it. You got to use it. Glory to God. It works. It works. Hallelujah. Now, go with me to Ephesians chapter 1. And I'll let you know a verse here in a second. Let's go to verse 16. Authority. I should have known this growing up. It would have saved me from a whole lot. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 16. Paul says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, would give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. You notice that? He says, I want you to get revelation in the knowledge of him. Why? My people are destroyed. Why? Lack of knowledge. So Paul says, give them knowledge. Praise God. Hallelujah. So he's praying that you get wisdom on this. He says in verse 18 that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. He said, I want you to understand this. You have to know this because if you don't know it, you won't use it. That the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you would know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints is. Now notice this. And Christians are blind to this. What is the exceeding greatness of his power? His power towards us. Hallelujah. Most people don't have a clue the power that's directed their way. And Paul's saying, we got to pray so you know. Because when you know, you'll stand up. You'll walk a little taller. You'll get a little stronger. Praise God. Towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Verse 20. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. He's saying the same power that is directed at you is the same power that was used to raise a dead man up. That's power. My goodness, that's power. He said when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. So when Jesus rose from the dead, Jesus sat down at the Father's right hand. Now what does that mean? Well, let's go on and look. It says far above. Or you could say it this way, higher than, greater than, all principality and power. Well, what's principality and power? Might and dominion in every name that is named. That is the devil's kingdom. He said we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. The same thing Jesus put to naught and spoiled in Colossians 2:15. He's put those things to naught. Now, when he raised from the dead, Jesus is seated far above all the devil has. Well, what's that denoting? That Jesus is far above the devil, and most of the body of Christ would agree that is true.
Amen.
If you asked him, do you think Jesus and the devil are in equal places? No. Jesus is seated with the Father far above all principality and power. Praise God for Jesus. Praise God for Jesus' seat. and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also that which is to come. And he has put all things under the feet of Jesus. Praise God. That's denoting authority too. That's showing that everything that's under your feet, you have control of that. It says, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Now notice this, verse 23, which is his body. He's the head, the church is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So if verse 22 says that he put all things under Jesus' feet, yet the Bible says that Jesus in the body's the head, guess who the feet are? Me and you. Even if you are so down on yourself and you say, I am the stinkiest, dirtiest, smelliest little toe on the body of Christ, all things are still under your feet. Even if you just have this wrong idea about yourself, still under your feet. Because he's the head. He's not the feet. We're the body of Christ. And the Bible says all things have been placed under our feet. It goes along with Luke 10. I give you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing can hurt you if you use the authority I've given you. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 5. So we know Jesus is seated far above, greater than, higher than the devil. And people would say, absolutely, Jesus is way above the devil. Even when, verse chapter 2 and verse 5, we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Verse 6, and raised us up together. And raised us up together. Well, where's Jesus? He's up far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that is named. What's a name? Sickness. What's a name? Disease. What's a name? Poverty. What's a name? Lack. What's a name? Depression. What's a name? Fear. What's a name? Worry. Far above. Far above. Jesus is far above. You'd say, yes, Jesus is far above sickness. Yes, Jesus is far above disease. Yes, Jesus is far above depression and lack and addictions and all these things. But guess what? You've been made to rise up with him and are seated together. Well, where's he at? If you're seated with him, it's pay to know where you're seated. Where are you seated? Where he's seated. Together with him. Heavenly places. Far above. Far above. See, Christians have to get a spiritual eye of faith on where they're seated in the body of Christ. We are not lowly. We are not defeated. We are not just humbly getting by. No, we have been seated and raised up in a place of authority that most people know nothing about, and so they don't act from that place. They act from a seat down here looking up high at the devil. How do I know? Hear him talk for 5 minutes. Oh, this is going on. Oh, this problem. Oh, I'll never this. Oh, I'll never that. You don't understand. You're seated above that. Do something about it. Praise God. Yep, and that's the way it is. You see, it doesn't matter that you're seated there if you don't know you're seated there. The example that came to me when I was thinking and meditating on this message, you ever seen a little dog give a big dog fits? I mean, just barking and nipping at him and yipping and all, just bothering the dog. And the big dog just mopes around, doesn't do anything. And it's like, I sit there and I watch and I said, why don't that big dog do something? All it would take would be just once. Just one time for that big dog to assert some authority. Listen, a cat only steps on a hot stove one time. And then they learn, that's a hot place, don't go there. A little dog, all it takes is one snap. Oh, yeah, get those big teeth out and let them know who's boss, right? But here's what you have to understand. The devil knows the word. He knows. Why do you think he fought the plan of God so hard? Because he knew that when Jesus would rise from the dead, death, hell, and the grave would be defeated. Jesus would then take us with him, and we would now be the ones down here usurping our authority over the devil. So he fought that plan of God so hard. So the devil knows that where we're seated spiritually is with Jesus and we're above him. But if we don't act from that place, it's not enough to know we're seated there. See, that little dog can see that big dog. That little dog can see that thing weighs a lot more than me. His bark's a lot louder than me. He's bigger than me. But if he's not going to do anything, I'm going to keep on keeping on, keep on keeping on him. Not stop, not stop, not stop. The devil knows. You're far above. He can see in the spirit realm. He is a spirit. That's the realm he operates from. He looks up and sees, my God, the body of Christ is seated over me, but they are a bunch of know-nothings, and they don't do anything about it, and I'm just going to keep having my way with them. Chomp, 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 chomp. Yep, 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 yep. And they just let him, let him, let him, let him, let him. But when the big dog gets a revelation that they're the big dog, it stops. It stops. Praise God. But see, people don't have a realization of where they are. Go to Acts chapter 19. We're almost done. Acts chapter 19. It's not enough that you're seated there. If you don't know it and don't act from there, so what? It gives a rip. Sit there and twiddle your thumbs. Well, the devil just nips at you and takes you out. Nope, not going to happen here. Acts chapter 19. Praise God. It says in verse 13, then certain of the vagabond Jews' exorcists took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. So they were attempting to cast out devils in the name of Jesus according to the one that Paul preaches. In verse 14 it says, and there were seven sons of a man named Sceva, who was a Jew and a chief of the priests, which did so. There were seven of these gentlemen's sons going around trying to cast devils out of people in the name of Jesus by whom Paul preaches. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? That was their chance, right? But see, they had no idea who they were. They heard Paul doing it, and so they tried to jump on his coattails. Well, I've seen pastor do things. Doesn't matter. If you don't know it for yourself, doesn't matter that you know somebody else can do it. You have to know your authority. Now, if this comes to me and I'm casting out a devil or using my authority and the devil asks me who I am, I'm going to say, you sure you want to know? Are you sure you want to know who I am, devil? Because I am a child of the Most High God, blood bought, washed, and redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, seated far above all principalities, power, might, and dominion, every name that is named. I have been given authority over you to tread upon you over all your power, and nothing you can do can hurt me. That's who I am. And then he says, woo, I think I'll go mess with someone else. I'm telling you. I'm telling you, stand up and use your authority. Get him off you. Well, they didn't. And look, they said, who are you? And they didn't have an answer. They didn't have an answer. I love the end of this. Caleb thinks this is the best. And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped or leapt on them and overcame them. So one evil spirit came out of the man. They tried to cast the devil out, went on all seven of them. And this is what Caleb likes the best. They prevailed against them so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. He thinks that's the greatest thing. He's always talking to me about the part in the Bible when the guys ran out without their clothes on. He thinks that's just great. And, that's what happens to people when they have no idea who they are. The devil whoops them and eats their lunch. That's what I mean. I had someone call me weeks ago, and they're telling me, I said, until they learn their authority, it's going to keep happening. Matthew 8 and verse 8, and we'll close this up. Matthew 8 and verse 8. So you better get, you can't just hear this one time and walk out of here with authority. You need to hear this over and over and realize I'm seated with him. I'm seated with him. I'm above all these things. I'm above all these names. See, you have to understand, with authority, it's important to know your boundaries. What do you have authority over? Anything that he says you can have in this book, you have authority over. If he says you can be healed, you have authority over sickness. If he says you can be free and have peace in your mind, you have authority over depression and anxiety and fear and stress and worry. If he says you can have your needs met, you have authority over lack. Amen. If he says that you don't have to be alone your whole life, you have authority over loneliness. And you can believe God for a spouse. Praise God. If he says he'll meet all your needs, you need a job, you have authority. Amen. See, what can I use my authority for? Anything that he says you can have. And anything that shows up in your life in the natural that's contrary to this, use your authority and say, enough's enough. See, when you don't know what you have, you won't use your authority. Let me give you an example. If there's anything, I'm not saying my love walk's perfected by any stretch of the imagination, but there's an area that really tests my love walk, and that is when people trespass onto property. That gets me fired up. Because I don't need them out there spreading all their scent around and walking around and messing up my deer hunting. And so when people have trespassed before, I'll tell you this, there's been times I've been on property, friends' property, that maybe the boundaries weren't so defined by the posted markers or whatever, and you go to confront them, and you have a lot less conviction behind the authority you're using when you don't know where the line is. When they're sitting there telling you, I'm where I'm supposed to be, and you don't have any proof or you don't have any signs with their names on it, it's hard to be bold with them. But when I can stand there, and this is a tree on this side, the posted sign is right here, and they're on this side of the land, on where the posted sign says it's not their land, and they're here, and I see that yellow posted sign, and they're trespassing, and they start to, that's what they sound like when they say, no, there's a yellow sign, it was staring you right in the face, get off the property. You have a lot more boldness because you know the boundaries. You know the lines. Well, it's the same way. Until you find out what is knowledge gives birth to faith, until you find out what belongs to you, you won't stand up and kick the trespassing things. Listen, sickness is trespassing. Depression is trespassing. Poverty is trespassing. Lack is trespassing. But if you don't know that, if you don't know that belongs to you, that's like what we said in the beginning. Jesus said, I will come and heal. If you don't know that God wants you healed, you'll let sickness come on you. You'll think, well, this is just what happens. This is what happened to grandma. She loved Jesus. This is what happened to dad. He loved Jesus. No. What does the Bible say? And once you find out and you have those boundaries and something trespasses, get off me. Get out of my life. Praise God. How do you do it? Well, here we're going to find out. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 8. Remember what Jesus said about this centurion? He said, I called it great faith, marveled at him. And he said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but the only thing you need to do is what? Speak the word. Speak the word only. Amen. How do you use your authority? By speaking the word only. Amen. Speaking the word. When sickness attempts to come on you, Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus, I'm healed. Healing is mine. What are you doing? That's speaking right. The word. Right. Jesus said people that will speak the word in the face of contrary and tough situations, he said they're the ones with great faith. And the reason the guy did it was because he knew his authority. So you have to understand your words have authority. Amen. Mark 11:23, and we'll close it up. Mark 11:23. Speak the word. Speak the word. What are you saying over your circumstances? What are you saying over your situations that are pressing in on you and oppressing you and hurting you? What are you saying over those things? Well, that's how you exercise your authority, by using your words. How did Jesus cast devils out of people? He used his words. Yeah. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, say unto the mountain, say unto the mountain. What's the mountain? Contrary circumstances. That's what the mountain is. Whatever standing in your way of receiving what God has for you. Maybe it's a money mountain. Maybe it's a mental mountain. Maybe it's a physical sickness mountain. Well, how are you going to use it? Using your authority. How? Speaking the word. Whoever says to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he will have whatsoever he's saying. What's Jesus saying in this verse? Your words have power. Amen. Your words have authority. Just like the centurion said, I understand authority. See, Jesus could speak the word only because he had authority over sickness. Right. All it took was to remove sickness was speaking the word. I remember when we were going through that situation, being $2,000 short every month, you're tempted to get a second job. You know, I was already watching Caleb all day, pastoring the church in the evening, and I wanted to get a third shift job to pay for the bills, because when I started this church, we didn't get a salary. And And you're tempted to do that. And you're tempted in the flesh and in the natural to think, what can I do? Now, there's good things to do in the natural. If God leads you to another job, take it. But see, faith is a restful place. Most people just go the natural route because they don't know how to use faith, and they'll get 2-3 jobs and overwork themselves and get so tired and miss church and never see their, you know, that's the way it works with people. Now, if God leads you to do it, there'll be grace on that, right? Or people will start looking, what can I sell? What can I sell? What can I, and that's okay if the Spirit of God leads you to do that. And so I tried to go the natural route, and the Spirit of God warned me, don't go the natural route. So it was just easy. So I'd sit there at night and feed that little chubby little baby boy. Just rock him in that little glider. I'd say, Father, I thank you. Every single bill will be paid on time, all the time, every single time. What was I doing? Just speaking the word only. See, because I understand something. That authority is used by words. And Jesus, whatever Jesus had authority over, I have authority over it because he gave it to me. And I have to use it the same way he did. Well, Jesus had authority over lack. Amen. When there wasn't food to feed people, there was an abundance. Everyone went home stuffed with leftovers. When there was no money to pay the taxes, he said, go fish.
Yeah.
It's true. He had authority over lack. He had authority over sickness, but how did he use it? He spoke the word. So I sat there. Father, I thank you. Every bill's paid on time, all the time, every single time. Father, I thank you for a promotion, for a raise, for supernatural debt payoff. And in 2 years, with one salary, for the majority of the time, $60,000 of debt was paid off, plus met all our bills every single month. How? Speaking the word only. Speaking the word only. Speaking the word only. And holding on to that thing. And you know, most of the times I spoke that word, wake up the next day, nothing changed. Nothing changed. You know, and then we'd have the manifestation come, we'd pay everything on time, but then we'd enter a new month and we'd be staring down the barrel of $2,000 short again. So do the same thing. Worked once, it'll work again. Amen. Speak the word only. But see, I knew that lack that was trying to oppress me and trespass on my life did not belong there.
That's right.
And so I used my words to drive that thing back. So whatever you're facing, find out what God has said about it and put that in your mouth and speak it. In the face of pressure, in the face of when things are the toughest, speak the word only, and Jesus will sit back and say, wow, wow, come look at what so-and-so from the South Dayton Church is doing. They're moving mountains by their words. Hallelujah. That's how you do it. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight. We're blessed. Let's just worship him and thank him for his goodness and his mercy. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We honor you. Kim, after I talked to you on the phone today, after the Lord said you're going to lay hands on her tonight for that problem, so come on up here, you're going to be a testimony. We're going to lay hands on that and take care of it. They told you you're going to have surgery, but let's just go ahead and change that. Do you believe he can heal you?
Yeah.
Amen. In the name of Jesus, we curse that thing. We curse that thing in the name of Jesus. We say, heart condition, you shape up. You are not allowed to not work right. You are not allowed to not function. We command in the name of Jesus Christ, heart be whole in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And it'll come to pass. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you. We magnify you. And so it begins. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So it begins. And so it begins. So it begins. That's just coming up out of my heart. And so it begins. And so it begins. And the testimonies will flood in and the people will follow the testimonies. Thank you, Jesus. And so when God does something for you, not just speaking to Kim here, but when God does something for you, it's important that you testify to that. It's important when the man in Acts chapter 3 was healed, the Bible says that he leapt and ran praising and rejoicing to God, and it caught everybody's attention. He became a billboard for Jesus. Thousands then flocked to where it happened. And then the word was preached and 5,000 people got born again. All because if that man would have just got healed, now some people would have noticed it because the man that was laid at the gate every day, word would have still spread, but not like it did when he's jumping and shouting and carrying on. And people are saying, what is going on? That's the man that was laid at the gate, beautiful, every day since his mother's womb. He was crippled. He's healed now. Why? He's testifying.
Yeah, amen.
What's going to draw our friends and family that are doubters, that are skeptics, when we tell them, doctor said this, was prayed for at church, and now this is my result?
Amen.
That's undeniable.
Yeah,
praise God. And so it begins. We praise you, Father. We bless you. We magnify you, Father. Hallelujah. We magnify you. Heather, how hard would it be to put that video up? Would that be hard? Let's do that. And here's why. Brother Hagin was given a healing anointing. And the Lord told him, the more you talk about it, the more it'll manifest. Amen. Dr. Dufresne was given a healing anointing. He said, the more you talk about it, the more it'll manifest. Pastor Nancy was told about the angels that were summoned to her ministry. The more you talk about the angels, the more you'll get them. So let's just find out what the Lord's saying to our church and make sure we keep that before us and keep our faith high. This is not to bring glory to me. I shared this with Olean last night, the message we shared on Sunday. It's important that you understand that I am fully aware that I can't work miracles. That I am just a vessel and God's the miracle worker. We never put our eyes in our faith in the person. It's always in God. That's when things start to get off track and things get into trouble. But we need to keep the things that God, just like I love what Pastor Nancy said at these meetings, what God's saying about your pastor and about your church, keep that before you. Meditate on that. Be repeating that. Write those things down and go over those. Use your faith for those things. And so it begins. Let's go ahead and let's watch that real quick. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. We worship you, Father. We worship you, Father. We worship you, Father. It seems to me, I don't know, there's something more we need to do. There's something more we need to do. Hallelujah. Brother Joe, you got something, go for it. Yeah, absolutely.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It was a couple of weeks ago, I was in a service. After the service, the Spirit was just on us so hard. I don't know if you know what I mean by that.
Yeah.
But I was sitting there just for about half an hour and was not able to drive home after the service. So I had to have somebody drive me. While I was driving, I had what Brother Hagin used to call a mini vision.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw myself and another individual from this area. And I spoke something to them and I saw that take place. And so I'm going to be up in this area next month. And I thought, well, maybe I'll look that person up and say that. But the Spirit dealt with me. No, come here to this meeting to say what I saw.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got a ticket and came here and do that. And so I want to do that if that's okay.
Good.
It seems like the right time.
Absolutely.
And I want to minister to you, Pastor Mike Anderson, and your wife can come too. And so appreciate your ministry. There's a dimension that the Lord's going to add to you this evening, to your ministry. And one of the ministry gifts that we see talked about in the Bible, you know, we know the fivefold, but then there's over in 1 Corinthians 12, you have it said a little differently. One of the things is miracles. Miracles. And so what I heard and saw myself do, I'm just going to repeat exactly what I saw in that little vision, and that was this. You've been known as Pastor Mike, but more than Pastor Mike, you're going to be known as Miracle Mike. And if I could ask the elders that, you know, that are, you know, Pastor Michael, if you don't mind, Pastor Nancy, because there's an endowment.
Hallelujah.
And then after that, they laid hands on me and I bit the dust. John chapter 2 and verse 1, and we'll close the service. Because after I laid hands on Kim, it came up out of my heart, and so it begins, and so it begins. John chapter 2 and verse 1. In the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. Jesus said unto her, woman, what do I have to do with you? My hour is not yet come. His mother said unto the servants, whatsoever he says to you, do it. And there were set 6 water pots of stone after the manner of purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water. They filled them up to the brim. He said unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegrooms, said unto him, every man at the beginning does set forth good wine, and when we have well drunk, then that which is worse. But you have kept the good wine until now. Verse 11, this beginning of miracles did Jesus. This beginning, there had to be a start. And as she was walking back, it came up out of my spirit. And so it begins. And so it begins.
Praise the Lord.
And they won't be able to deny it, Kim. Because you heard what the doctor said. But we know what Jesus has said.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. And so it begins. And now I hope since Sunday you have all been latching onto that word and saying, Father, thank you. Now, if you weren't here Sunday, it's vital that you get on live stream and listen to that message. Because that message was a mandate for this church of where we're going. Signs, wonders, and miracles were the flow of the Bible, and they're the flow of today. Most people don't see them, and we learned about why, but we learned about why on Sunday, and now we're going to be ones that are going to see them. And we're going to testify to these things, and we're going to shout it from the rooftops.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so it begins. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Father. You are the healer. You are the miracle, signs, and wonder worker, Father God. It's not us. Father, we know we have a role to play. We know we have a part to play. But, Father, you always get the praise and glory. You always will get all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory. Without you, Father, we can't do anything. And so, Father, we thank you that tonight it begins. We thank you for the manifestations that are to come. Father, we thank you for signs, wonders, and miracles. And Father, we give you praise and glory. With heads bowed and eyes closed, the greatest miracle ever was Jesus dying and raising from the dead. If you're here tonight with heads bowed and eyes closed, or if you're listening to me over the internet, or if you're listening to me by archive in the future, and you can say, I want to be a part of this family of God where good things happen, where I have authority, where I can be saved and go to heaven. Well, there's a first step, and that's receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The Bible says he died on the cross for your sins. And you don't have to jump through 10 religious hoops to get to him. The Bible says all you have to do is call upon his name. If you'll call upon his name, he said he'll save you. That's the qualifications. If you're a believer that he died, if you're a believer that he rose again, salvation belongs to you. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you can say, Pastor, I don't think I've ever asked Jesus into my heart. I don't believe I've ever received him as my Lord and Savior, but I sure would like to. Nobody's looking. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We won't embarrass you. We won't have you come forward. But if you want to receive Jesus for the very first time in your life, would you lift your hand and I'll have you put it right back down if you've never done it before. Anybody at all in this service want to receive Jesus for the first time? Father, I don't see any hands, but by chance, if there's someone in here or someone listening now or in the future that has not made Jesus the Lord of their life, I pray, Father, that they would not pass from this life till they've made Jesus their Savior. And once they do, I pray that they would get planted in a Bible-teaching church where they can learn all the wonderful things that you have for them and begin to experience the goodness of God. Father, we love you so much tonight. Let's just give him praise and glory. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Kim, you go forth from this place just thanking him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we thank you for wholeness. We thank you for wholeness and soundness of mind. We bless you tonight, Father. We glorify you tonight, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you so much for coming. I trust you were blessed. We'll see you all Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. You are dismissed.
You should lie. You do not fall. You do not fall. You do not fall. You do